The symbols of Christmas was not only a cute, fun, and festive show, but it was also encouraging and thought-provoking as well. As we move through December and close in on Christmas Day, it is important that we don't allow the flashy, shiny, shimmery excitement of the holiday season keep us from experiencing the awe and wonder of the baby boy that lie in a manger on that midwinter night over 2,000 years ago. For it was on this night that the world was changed forever. Pray with me real quick. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and to celebrate you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who in humility was born in a manger, but in strength was a savior for the world. Help us to have open hearts, minds, eyes, and ears to receive a message that you're pouring out over this church today. God, we just thank you for being our creator. We thank you, Jesus Christ, as our savior, and thank you, the Holy Spirit, that fills us and transforms us from within to become the best creation that we could ever be, and that is an image bearer of you. God, thank you for this day. Amen. The symbols of Christmas. So I have a question. With a show of hands, how many of you have put up Christmas decorations in your house? Some, little, maybe, no? For those that have, second question, what's the focal point of your Christmas decorations? You can just say it out loud.
Boxes everywhere.
Boxes everywhere. I heard over here first, Christmas trees. We'll go with their answer. You got one of those too? That's good. The Christmas tree. For many families, it's the tree that is the focal point. It's the biggest and flashiest decoration of all, and under its canopy, presents are usually gathered. And as we draw closer and closer to Christmas Day, but why a tree? Why an evergreen tree? As we learned in our program today, an evergreen tree is just that, evergreen. Unlike the trees that we see that have leaves that change color and fall to the ground during the fall months, the evergreen remains green year-round. They do not have a dormant season as the others do. As we look at our trees and decorate our trees, let's be reminded that in the very life of Jesus, we have access to a life that does not go dormant. In John 6, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and after he had walked on water towards his disciples in the boat, we read a story about how people sought after him to be fed again. But Jesus teaches them to not search for the food that perishes, the food of this world, but for the food that endures to eternal life. That the work of God is that you believe in him who he has sent. And after being questioned about this, Jesus says in John 6, 32 through 33, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." After this teaching from Jesus, those gathered around him asked to be given this bread always, to which Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life." A life with Christ is a life of abundance, abundant grace, mercy, hope, and love. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus does not desire us to become dormant in our spiritual lives. That is what the thief, Satan, desires. Jesus desires that evergreen and abundant life for us that is in him and in him alone. The evergreens remind you and me of that this Christmas. Now, the evergreen reminds us of abundant life, a life with Jesus, but but what about those ornaments that they talked about? In the program, we were taught that the ornaments are all different shapes, colors, and sizes, and chosen to fill just the right spot on the Christmas tree. Some might be homemade. Some might reflect a memory from a previous year that brought great joy. Some might just be pretty and enjoyable to look at. They bring character and vibrance to the tree. We are also told that these ornaments can symbolize God's blessing. God blesses us in many different ways. Each blessing is unique and created to meet us where we are at and in the perfect timing of God. These blessings from God upon our lives are not meant to be held in silence or carried in a box. God desires us to glorify Him as we share these blessings through our lives, in our actions, our reactions, and interactions with the world around us. It is the fruit of a faithful person walking in the Spirit of Christ that people see. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham that all nations of the earth will be blessed through his seed. God was ultimately referencing to Jesus Christ. One of Isaac's descendants. Through faithfully living through that blessing, God went on to offer the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life to all who would believe in him. It is the blessing of all blessings. It is the blessing of life. Paul, later in his letter to the Galatian church, encourages us to walk by the Spirit. As we accept Christ, we are given the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, and as we walk by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in our lives. It is the overflow of this outpouring of blessing from God that we are able to bless others with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fruit is the ornament of blessing in our life. As we decorate our trees this year, let us not lose sight of the many blessings in our life, the greatest of which is, of course, Jesus. So we got everlasting life and God's great blessing, the evergreen trees and the ornaments. Our next lesson from the program is about the beautiful lights. From lights on the house to lights on the Christmas tree, we love to see the lights. One of my favorite memories growing up was driving to the ritzier neighborhoods around Dallas to look at the houses lit up with thousands of lights. We would all ooh and ah and debate each other on which one was our favorite. You know, it's a funny thing about light. As we drove closer to these houses, we would begin to see the glow of these lights. And our excitement would rise and we would begin to move to the edge of our seat with great anticipation. You see, the light was shining in the darkness. Now in the Gospel of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Then in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we read that God said, "Let there be light." When light was spoken into existence, the fullness of God was there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus in John 12:46 says this about himself, "I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." The creator of light became light for all. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, entering a dark world to shine a light of hope and life. This would be the best light we could ever experience, but that's not all. In Matthew 5, Jesus says to those who follow him, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may give glory to God." We are not just called to experience the light, but we are invited into the action of shining light ourselves. In Christ, we are a light that shines, pointing others to Christ. As we see the lights that illuminate houses and trees, let us be reminded of the light of Christ, the light of creation, and the light from God that shines in you and through me and all who believe in Jesus Christ. And then we hear about the bells. When you think about bells, I think about, maybe a horse-drawn carriage as it's coming along the road. You can hear the jingle bells from a distance coming closer, and it's just fascinating to me. The bells of a church tower, when they ring out, are just beautiful to hear. The bells of a bell choir playing a melody that is pleasing to the ear. Maybe as you're shopping, you might hear the bell of a Salvation Army bell ringer, and it might awaken your thoughts to those that might be experiencing a less fortunate or difficult time during this Christmas season. As we hear bells ringing out this year, what are we being drawn to? In the world of a shepherd during biblical times, the ringing of bells was critical to their flock's well-being. They would use bells in a few ways to keep their flock safe and together. The larger, louder bells, like the ones that are on the screen there, would be reserved for a special sheep in the flock, the bellwether. The bellwether was the sheep that all the other sheep would follow. Whether they were eating, feeding, moving, or sleeping, they would hang close to the bellwether sheep with the big bells around its neck. It was the alpha of the herd. Shepherds could tell if the herd was startled by a potential threat by the sound and rhythm of those bells. And if a sheep went astray, one of the shepherds could go after that sheep while knowing where the herd was at all times, thanks to the bells. Jesus taught about a shepherd leaving the 99 in search for the one. It is the bells that allows a shepherd to do such things. Jesus teaches us that he is the good shepherd and that his sheep hear his voice and follow him. He calls their name and he leads them out. Like a bellwether sheep's bells lead the herd and keep the herd together. The voice of Christ leads you and me and all who believe in him. It leads us to life. And as our Savior, it is the voice of the one who lays down his life for his sheep, saying, "It is finished." When we hear the Christmas bells ring out this year, we ought to be reminded of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Then as our family continued to decorate their Christmas tree, the mom continues to teach her kids about the symbols of Christmas and why we use them. This conversation brings up the wonderful candy cane, a delicious piece of hard candy that is in the shape of a shepherd's crook, or a J, or maybe even a red and white striped fishing hook. Either way we see it, the candy cane points to Jesus. As we just learned, Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. The shepherd's crook can pull his sheep out of danger, keeping them in the fold while defending them against predators and other troubles. As our good shepherd, Jesus defeated death with life, keeping his sheep from the darkness of an eternity separated from him. The letter J is obviously a reminder of Jesus, but also our justification by faith. Romans 5:1 declares that, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Of course, defeating death with life and justification by faith doesn't just happen. The colors red and white remind us that it is by the blood of Jesus on the cross that our sins are forgiven. Jesus, the holy and sinless sacrifice, washed our sins as white as snow. The stripes of the candy cane remind us that we are loved far more deeply than we could ever imagine. It also reminds us to share that gospel message with others. Jesus called this being fishers of men when calling his disciples. When we see the candy cane, it is the love of Jesus, the good shepherd, that we can be reminded of. Then the family continues to decorate. They get to the star, and the mother uses this as a chance to teach the kids about how the wise men used the special star to find Jesus. This star was their guiding light to find the Savior. Like the star that guided the Magi to Christ, we have God's Word as a guiding light for us, leading us from the darkness out of a broken world to the eternal throne of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 105, the author writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When we see the star this Christmas, may it remind us to look to the Word of God and allow it to draw us to Jesus in a deep and meaningful way. Like the star that led the Magi to Jesus, the angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherds in an incredible way to lead them as well. Luke 2:9 says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Can you imagine? The glory of the Lord shone around them. Shepherd boys, the lowest of the social class, given this amazing symphony of sound and light that led them to the baby Jesus. What an act. It is with this act God was opening the door of salvation to all people. It is not about who you know or where you come from or how much you have. God is calling all people to himself through his Son. When we see angels in our decorations, may we remember that the hope that is found in Jesus is open to all people, including you and me. Then as our family decorated their tree and their house for Christmas, they came to the holly. And as they adorned the shelves and doorways with strands of holly, the mom explained how we can see the symbol of the crown of thorns that was put on Jesus in the pointy holly leaves, and how we can be reminded of the blood that was shed on the cross in the red berries. Now, I'm not sure if there's a direct tie between holly and the crown of thorns that Jesus endured as he was being mocked, beaten, and criticized. But seeing those pointy leaves and red berries can be a good reminder that what we celebrate at Christmas is part of a much bigger story. It takes us from the holly jolly Christmas as we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, the baby Jesus, and points us toward the cross of Jesus and the empty tomb. When we decorate and celebrate for Christmas, we can do so knowing that this is the beginning of a much bigger story. And as they continue to decorate their house, they came to the wreath. And as they hung it on the door, the kids are taught that the evergreen wreath, with ends touching to make a ring, can remind us of everlasting love of God. That in the focal point of Christmas, the birth of Christ, we are being drawn into an everlasting relationship with God. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." God's love for you and me is unchanging. In Romans 8, Paul teaches that, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from Christ's love?" The wreath has no ending or beginning, just as God's love for us has no end. Jesus is fighting for us, and in faith we are told that nothing can separate us from that love. As you pass a door with a wreath on it, be reminded of God's love, that God's love is everlasting, and that by faith in Jesus, as we grow, change, and move, we are connected to that deep and powerful love forever. Now, with the house decorated and the tree adorned with lights and ornaments, our mom turns the focus of the family to the presents under the tree. We all love to receive presents. The eagerness and excitement of wondering what was in that wrapped box is something we all can imagine in our head right now. But why do we give gifts? thinking back to those magi who saw the star and followed that star to the house where a young Jesus lay, those same magi offered three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was a gift offering that points to Jesus being the King of Kings, and the frankincense was a gift that points to Jesus as God, as they burnt the incense to bring honor. And the myrrh was a gift offering that pointed to Jesus being a sacrificial lamb for all that call on him as Lord. The Magi were honoring Jesus with gifts that pointed to him being the greatest gift to mankind that we could ever ask for, the Savior of the world. When we give gifts, we should do so out of the abundance of what God has given. And when we receive gifts, we should do so with gratitude and thanksgiving, understanding that gifts are not earned, but given. We could never earn our own salvation, but God gave us his Son as the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord." When we see gifts, give gifts, and receive gifts, we should be reminded of the greatest gift ever, our salvation in Jesus. Now, when the skit was presented, it had a title, and the title was 12 Symbols of Christmas. Well, there was only 11. 11, we stopped here at the ribbons, bows, and garland, and the wrapping of these gifts. So this 11th gift, the mom explained that these items work together to bind the gifts and cover them with a lovely colors and care. She explained how Jesus ties all Christians together in his love, that we may not all be the same, be in the same nuclear family, but in Christ we are all children of God and part of the kingdom of Christ. In a letter to the church in Colossae, Paul teaches that Christ is all and in all. He teaches to put on then, as God's holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It is in the Christ-like love that binds us together in perfect harmony. The most beautiful and perfectly wrapped gift, God's good creation wrapped in God's love. So we have the 11 symbols. But again, the original title was 12. So what is the 12th? Well, it is not a decoration or a symbol at all. The evergreen tree, the ornaments, the lights, the bell, candy canes, the star, the angels, the holly, the wreath, the presents, and the wrapping and ribbons and garlands and bows all point to something bigger than the decorations and the gifts. Of course, they point to Jesus Christ, our Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. The 12th is a baby in a Bethlehem manger, a young boy in the house of the Lord, a grown man who turns water into wine, recovers the sight of the blind, cures the lame, feeds the multitude, calms the water, washes feet, and takes the sin of the world upon his shoulders to the cross. It is the reality of the empty tomb. It is the resurrected Christ that conquers death with life, drives out darkness with light, and brings salvation to all who confess with their voice that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he has risen from the grave. This Christmas, as you see the beautiful decorations, lights, and presents, may you be drawn closer to Christ than ever before. And if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, my prayer is that you will open your heart to Jesus and feel the hope love and light that is Emmanuel, God with us. And now if you're struggling with a transgression, that maybe this Christmas you see Jesus Christ truly as a Savior and are able to repent from that and seek Christ, seek Emmanuel, seek God with us. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. May we not overlook the reason for the season. And may we see your face in all that we do, keeping you close to our heart, mind, and soul. God, this Christmas season, may we love you like we have never loved before. For you, O Lord, are our Creator, our Savior, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.